Hello and welcome back. I have some very exciting news for you. I have officially moved podcasts and I'm thrilled to announce the launch of my brand new show, Sensory Investigations. On Sensory Investigations, we'll be diving deep into the lives of celebrities and exploring their sensory stories to gain a deeper understanding of how different experiences shape our nervous systems. In each episode, we'll unravel the fascinating world of sensory processing, fight, flight, freeze, fawn, and you'll learn how these experiences can influence behavior, emotions, and our overall well-being. Whether you're personally interested in sensory processing or simply curious about how it shapes our lives, Sensory Investigations is here to guide you on this exciting journey. And to give you a taste of what's to come, here is an episode straight from Sensory Investigations. So make sure to subscribe on your favorite podcast platforms and get ready to embark on this exciting exploration of our senses and nervous system. Today, I have a sensory story for you unlike any other. As we investigate people's nervous system journeys, you will see that fight, flight, freeze, fawn comes in many different forms. And today, I have a sensory story for you all about flight state. So here's the thing, there is actually way more to flight state than that feeling like you need to run away and that desperate urge to escape. Get ready to uncover flight state's hidden depths, the hyperactivity, the impulsivity, anxiety, and a whole lot more. This deep dive is going to show you flight state in an entirely new light. And before we get to our sensory story, I want to tell you about one of my favorite supplements for flight state in particular, and that is magnesium. If we are Insta friends, you know that I have been obsessed for years with magnesium, almost a decade actually. And Mellow Magnesium by Ned is by far my favorite magnesium I have ever taken. The reason that I'm so obsessed with magnesium is because as an ADHDer, it is extremely common for us to have certain nutrient deficiencies. Like some of the big ones include vitamin D, and then there's zinc, and then you guessed it, magnesium. Studies estimate that around 90% of people with ADHD experience a magnesium deficiency, which ends up intensifying symptoms like restlessness, impulsivity, poor focus, irritability, sleep problems. So whenever I started taking magnesium, it was a huge game changer for me, and it's been a staple in my routine ever since. And I've tried so many brands over the years, but Mellow Magnesium by Ned is by far my favorite. What I love about Mellow Magnesium is it actually includes three key magnesium forms. Most of them just have one, and it actually includes the elite magnesium glycinate, which is excellent for brain health and focus. And on top of that, it also includes GABA, nicknamed my happy supplement for its mood boosting properties, and L-theanine and trace minerals, making it the most unique and potent magnesium blends I've ever seen. And I highly recommend trying Mellow Magnesium. You can use code SENSORYTHERAPIST for 15% off your first order. So welcome back to Sensory Investigations. Today we'll delve into an intriguing case of the flight response, but with a twist. Instead of immediately revealing the celebrity's identity, we're actually going to do a guess who's a nervous system type of episode. And so we are going to explore this person's sensory story using a pseudonym. And this journey will showcase the diverse ways that flight state can manifest, offering valuable insights into our own flight state trauma responses. And so as we're using a pseudonym, listen closely and see if you can crack the code and guess who this celebrity is. But for now, we're just going to call him Amari, and that's actually his middle name. So for some diehard fans, you might already have a clue. But for Amari, he was born in Atlanta on June 8th, 1977. And now, fun fact, if you didn't know already, I am actually currently living in Atlanta, Georgia, and I had no idea that the very famous Amari had Atlanta roots. And so Amari, growing up, his dad was actually the first Black photojournalist at the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, which is huge. And when I read this, I was shook. Like, I was like, what a legacy. And I can't imagine how this must have influenced Amari in encouraging him to do big things, like break these barriers and to fearlessly fight after your dreams. But also, can you imagine the pressure, like something we will be talking a lot today, and the amount of courage that it took, especially back in the 60s, 70s, to land that dream job at such a huge company, let alone be the one breaking racial barriers? Low-key, it reminds me of the movie Hidden Figures, which is a movie about the first Black woman to work at NASA and to join NASA, which if you haven't seen Hidden Figures, it is a great movie. I highly recommend it. So if you don't think Amari's dad is already some huge shoes to fill, Amari's mom was actually the daughter of a civil rights activist, and she ended up going to college and becoming an English professor herself. And she becomes an English professor at Clark Atlanta University. And so being from Georgia, I am very familiar with Clark Atlanta University. But for those of you who don't know, Clark Atlanta is a legendary, historically Black university, the first one in the South, no less. So you've got two incredibly successful creative minds here, and not just successful, but creators. They're artists in their own right, with a deep desire to see the world differently and share their unique perspectives with the world. And I mean, you've got the first Black photojournalist at the AJC and a prominent English professor. Like, talk about a power couple. And they both clearly had a ton of drive in them, especially being Black in America during that time. It's no wonder that they raised someone who would be a force to be reckoned with and who would become a world-renowned creative force themselves. And so for me, reading and reflecting on Amari's story, I couldn't help but think about my parents, who, a little different from Amari's story, but they emigrated here from Jamaica. And so me being first generation American, let me tell you, the pressure to succeed was intense. That pressure to succeed, even just as a Black woman, was also intense. And when it came to my parents, who constant trying to make it and like to succeed, like that played such a big role in their life, and so much of their life was devoted and focused on that, and that survival, that feeling like we needed to succeed at all costs. And so obviously that feeling didn't just magically disappear for them whenever they had me, but instead they would project those same feelings and that same feeling of pressure onto me. And to be honest, like maybe some of you can resonate with this, but I know as a child, it felt like sometimes all they cared about were my grades, my achievements. And sometimes it felt like they cared more about that than my happiness. It was all about be successful, make us proud. Like, not sure if any other first generation kids out there can relate. But that constant pressure, that feeling of never being good enough, that's a huge, huge source of what slowly over time can create a flight state wound. And that flight state wound becoming bigger and bigger over time if we don't intervene and if we don't do anything about it. And I know for me, that feeling of pressure would become all-encompassing, and that looming feeling of pressure would become always present in the back of my mind. And we're going to get into that way deeper in a bit, but for now, let's rewind a bit and get back into Amari's story. So Amari comes into the world a few years after his parents got married, and everything seems good, right? But then when he's 3 years old, his whole world gets turned upside down. His parents get divorced, and just imagine what it's like as a little kid, especially at such a crucial time in nervous system development. One minute he's in sunny, hot, humid ATL, Hotlanta, soaking up that heat and humidity, and then the next he's on a plane to Chicago, a whole new city with a completely different vibe, cold, windy, everything you'd expect from the Midwest. And that's not even mentioning the sensory overload of a new environment, new sights, sounds, smells. It can be overwhelming for anyone, let alone a tiny toddler who just lost his sense of security. And so little baby Amari moves up to the windy city, Chicago, where he eventually begins attending the very prestigious Polaris Charter Academy, which is actually an award-winning school that takes, and just from reading about it, going to their website, like just take a peek, you can tell that they take academics very seriously there. And so I'm sure adding more to his pressure cup and just filling up his pressure cup even more. And so this is where Amari would attend school, spending summers in Atlanta with his dad, And then eventually when he turned 10 years old, he and his mom actually moved all the way across the world to Nanjing, China. And his mom received an opportunity to teach as a professor at a university there. In which, first off, his mom is such a badass, like what a role model of bravery and going after your dreams. And then there's that whole other component of that culture shock that Omari experienced of moving from the United States to China. And if you thought Omari had experienced a lot of pressure already, imagine being a kid moving from the United States to China and just that jump in pressure that Omari experienced, that pressure to succeed academically in China where academic standards are much higher. And then on top of that, that pressure to fit in when you're the only foreigner in your class at 10 years old. And then again, that pressure to make your parents happy and to be accepted, and that pressure to learn a new language. So like you can see in so many of our sensory stories, and for those of us that really struggle with flight state, if you look back and dig deep in your nervous system stories, you can see how that pressure keeps on building and building and piling on Omari and piling even more over time. And so according to his mother, Omari was actually the only foreigner in his class, but settled in very well and quickly picked up the language. And Omari had one thing that was his saving grace and one of the most beautiful gifts that you can give an extra sensitive soul. And that gift is being creative and having that creative outlet. And his parents obviously encouraging him throughout this to nurture his creativity. And participating in creative hobbies and activities is just so, so good for our nervous system. When we are being creative, it puts us into a very healing state, a flow state, a parasympathetic state, a calm state, a regulating state. And I personally believe that all neurodivergents, particularly those of us that have high levels of flight state, we need creative outlets to release all of that pressure, all of that energy inside of us, that flight energy inside of us. And likewise, I believe that our sensory sensitivities, our super senses, allow us to experience the world in a very unique way. The fact that we see, hear, feel, taste, and sense way more than a neurotypical person allows us this gift and allows us many times to just become powerful creatives. And some may say it is neurodivergent's purpose to create, which of course creating comes in many different forms. You can create in the arts, of course, but you can also create in sports, in teaching, in engineering, and the list goes on. Creative is way more than just like painting and arts and crafts. It's about finding your interest. And for us neurodivergents, and of course our hyper obsessions, that hyper focused energy, when we begin feeding it and creating and releasing that built up pressure in our nervous systems as we create, it is so, so good for us. And so back to Omari, I believe that having that creative outlet was so amazing for his nervous system. And Omari prioritized creativity from an extremely early age. He began actually writing poetry when he was just 5 years old and started rapping in the third grade, hint, hint, and began making musical compositions in the seventh grade, eventually selling them to other artists. And once you know who this person is, you will also sense this is an extremely confident person in a lot of ways. And that another beautiful thing about creative passions is it really helps to build our self-esteem, build our confidence, which is so important, which is vital for those of us with extra sensitive nervous systems who are more at risk of having low self-esteem, having sensitive dysphoria, RSD, which is when your nervous system experiences severe emotional pain because of a failure or feeling rejected, and a long list of experiences related to having low self-esteem. But at the same time, while having creative outlets is extremely helpful in regulating our nervous systems and releasing pressure for our nervous systems and helping to counteract that flight state symptoms, building confidence, but unfortunately, creative outlets alone is not enough. While it is a huge, huge help and a big puzzle piece in how to regulate our nervous systems, it's not a one-all be-all fix. And there are other puzzle pieces, there are other sensory components that if ignored can create cracks in our regulation, which is what we end up seeing in Omari's sensory journey as he goes on. And Omari returns to Chicago, graduates from the Polaris High School, that Polaris Charter Academy, and Omari receives a scholarship to attend Chicago's American Academy of Art. And he actually studied painting, which if you have a guess at who Omari's real identity is, then maybe you're shocked that they majored in painting. Like, I know they have a very diverse creative career, including fashion, music, but painting, I would love to see an art collection by Omari. But we probably never will, because ultimately he decided it was not his main passion and ended up transferring to Chicago State University to major in English, just like his mama. And Omari had his big break finally at the very young age of 21 years old when he sells his first beats to a local Chicago rapper, Gravity, for $8,000. And not before long, he ends up dropping out of Chicago State University to pursue his music dream. And Omari will go on to have one of the most successful music careers ever. He goes on and becomes one of the world's best-selling music artists with 160 million records sold. Goes on to win 24 Grammy Awards and become the 10th most of all time and most awarded for any hip-hop artist, in line with Jay-Z, which is absolutely amazing, and it's mind-blowing. It's incredible. But of course, with all of that fame and with the huge success comes intense amounts of pressure. Something that most of us non-celebrities conveniently forget about, and something that I think is so crazy and so wild. And I am a reality TV girly. I love keeping up with celebrities, seeing their success, and being a part of their lives over the years, watching them grow. I think there's something so special about celebrities who are not afraid to be vulnerable with the world and share their journeys with us. But at the same time, if you go on any like e-news posts, celebrities posts, and go to their comments, it blows my mind the amount of people who just bash and bully. It seems like as we get further and further looking at the long-term effects of social media becoming a social media society and a technology society, it seems like a lack of empathy is just growing and growing and growing in our society, and is unfortunately one of those impacts of just being the social media society and having this comparison and just having all of this access. And there's actually research that has been done showing this, showing proof that we are becoming less empathetic as a society, specifically and tied to social media. But you really don't need a published research article to know that. Like, just go on Reddit, Instagram, TikTok, and you can see how bad it is. And Omari in particular is probably, I would say, my guess would be like top 50 or top 100, like most hated celebrities, or just celebrities who have received the most hate over the years. And that's why I think it is so important to remind us through sensory investigations to allow us to build back up our empathy muscle. Not only for others, but for ourselves. Because when we lack empathy for others, we think that by bullying others or judging somebody or gossiping about others, that it helps us feel better. And yes, that may be true in the moment. It might give us like a little bit of that confidence boost, self-esteem boost. But in the long run, it just ends up making us be even more critical and judgmental of ourselves, which eats away at our nervous system. So literally look at empathy and compassion as a muscle. Just like we go to the gym and we work out, we need to work out our empathy muscles, knowing that it's going to help our mental health, our happiness, our nervous system, our regulation. Like, it is so, so, so good. It is like, just like broccoli is like one of those foods that's just so good for us. Like, same thing with empathy. And like, instead of CrossFit junkies, like, become an empathy junkie and just become obsessed with it. And hopefully while you're here sensory investigating, you'll have a lot of fun along the way, strengthening up your empathy muscle. So empathy rant aside, back to Omari. Again, when you look past the huge fame, you can see how it really wasn't all smooth sailing for Omari. And it never is. My theory is for 99% of the people who make it look smooth sailing, like on their Instagram feeds, it's not actually so smooth sailing and easy. And like behind the curtains, if you pull the curtains aside, you pull those veils aside, behind the picture-perfect social media feed, you'll see that. And so for Omari, when he was 31 years old, his mom, his rock, the person who never left his side, it was just him and her for his entire childhood, his adulthood. She never remarried or had any other kids. It was just them two against the world, a bond that can't be understood by most. And his mom actually even ended up becoming his manager, a relationship that seemed like as close as a mom-son relationship could possibly be. And then he unexpectedly loses her on November 10th, 2007, when she was just 58 years old. Omari's mom passed away suddenly from coronary artery disease and multiple post-op factors from a cosmetic surgery. And my mom is around that same age, and I am also around the same age he was. I'm 30, and I cannot even think about what this would feel like. Like, I can't even just, like, wrap my head around it because I'll start getting emotional. And on top of that, there is a lot of injustice and controversy related to her death, and authorities in LA actually ended up launching an investigation into her death after learning the doctor who operated on her had convictions for alcohol-related offenses and at least two major malpractice settlements. So all of this, I'm sure, is just more salt into Omari's wound. And you can see something shift in Omari after this, and something that often doesn't get discussed is the accumulation of trauma. As a neurodivergent, as a highly sensitive person, something that happens to us over time is just when trauma builds up and builds up, and that sensory trauma that we encounter. And you just see his dysregulation get worse and worse over time. The lifetime of sensory trauma, emotional trauma, physical trauma can add up little by little, and over time a little becomes a lot, which is why I try to actively remember this and give myself lots of empathy, remembering everything that my nervous system has been through, everything my senses have been through. And for Omari, his sensory story takes you through an extremely curvy story, a curvy road, lots of highs, lots of lows. You see him get married, win Grammys, create best-selling albums. You also see his nervous system experience a lot of flight state. And I can't imagine the pressure he felt from the fame, from life, trying to balance it all, not having his rock there to help him release it all. And the pressure, the more pressure one feels, the more intensified their flight state becomes. And impulsivity in particular is very connected to flight state, which is something that Omari is extremely known for, is his very off-the-wall comments, his very impulsive comments and impulsive actions, and just him doing these really off-the-wall things. And when you feel overwhelming amounts of pressure, it leads to this feeling of unsettledness inside of our nervous systems, inside of our body, which cues impulsivity. And you feel all this pressure inside, and it becomes so hard to just keep everything in. And therefore, that is when impulsivity is born, and that strong urge to let things out at any given moment. I like to think of pressure as like this built-up energy and pressure inside of us, and we're so overloaded to the brim with pressure that it just pours out of us like a cup overflowing. And also another flight state symptom related to this that you see in a lot of Omari's story is that underlying feeling of pressure, and related to that underlying feeling of pressure, is paranoia. So flight state is connected to this overwhelming feeling of pressure. The more pressure, the more impulsive, the more hyperactive, the more anxious, the more paranoid, again, all connected to that feeling of pressure. And in 2016, Omari actually ended up abruptly ending one of his concerts and being committed to the UCLA Medical Center with hallucinations and paranoia. And while the episode was first described as one of a temporary psychosis caused by dehydration and sleep deprivation, and he actually ends up remaining hospitalized for almost 2 weeks and ends up having to cancel 21 concerts. And he also had talked openly in a lot of his songs and also a lot of interviews about his anxiety and his struggles with anxiety. And Omari actually ends up later sharing that he had also been diagnosed with bipolar disorder. And although he later did tell President Trump that it was a misdiagnosis, and then he recounted that and said that he was bipolar again. And then he would also later end up self-diagnosing himself with autism. And I think the main point here, though, is that Omari has an extra sensitive nervous system, and like so many of us highly sensitive people, we are more at risk of experiencing flight state, the hyperactivity, the desire to escape, the impulsivity, the anxiety, the paranoia, the overwhelming feeling of pressure that life is just do or die at all times. And while Omari reminds us how healing creative outlets are for us highly sensitives, it's also so important for us to work to getting to the root of limiting belief that life is do or die in all moments. And we live life with these weighted backpacks just filled with pressure. And the more you learn how and regularly release that pressure, you release yourself from the reins of flight state. And so, if you haven't guessed already who the real Omari is and whose nervous system story this is, go ahead and cast your votes because we're about to make the big reveal. And so the real Omari is Kanye Omari West. So for those of you that guessed it, good job. Round of applause to you. And for those of you who did not, I hope you still had fun and learned a lot along the way. I really enjoyed doing this Guess Who's Nervous System Cell episode. Please let me know if you liked it. DM me on my Instagram, sensory_therapist. And because, well, part of sensory investigations is to help you have more empathy and better understanding and more love for these celebrities that get a lot of hate and get a lot of heat. But the main part of being here is to really to help heal your nervous system and better understand yourself and your senses and your nervous system. And if you're looking for guidance along your nervous system healing journey, I invite you to check out Sensory Therapy Retreat, my online sensory sanctuary to heal and explore sensory trauma therapy. My sensory therapy membership provides a supportive space and powerful tools to help you navigate your nervous system and heal from sensory trauma and find the safety you deserve. When you become a retreat member, what awaits you inside my online sensory sanctuary includes a sensory training certification for anyone who is interested in becoming sensory trauma trained. You will also gain access to a variety of sensory trauma healing resources, access to therapeutic workbooks, guided sensory meditations, sensory exercises. Another really important part of the sensory trauma evaluation, it is actually a three-part evaluation. You have the sensory portion, then you have the fight or flight portion, then you also have the trauma portion. And it's a deep dive into your nervous system to help you get really clear look at the physical component of your nervous system to learn what those physical sensory needs are, and also to learn what your patterns are, and to give you, again, a really clear guide on what steps to take to work on breaking those patterns and healing that sensory trauma that often gets left out. And another really fun part to help you put everything into action is a 6-week nervous system rewiring program inside the retreat. And plus, there's a lot of fun sensory workshops on a variety of topics like nervous system burnout, demand avoidance, unmasking. And so you can join Sensory Therapy Membership today, begin your nervous system healing journey, your sensory trauma healing journey. There is a special discount for first-time retreat members, which you can find all the details by visiting the link in the show notes. So remember, dear sensory survivor, your story is uniquely yours. As you navigate your own path, may you find the strength to dismantle your walls, embrace vulnerability, and discover the liberation that awaits you beyond the flight. And of course, feel free to continue investigating these topics we discussed today through your own research and experiences. Thank you so much for joining me on this sensory investigation today. Until next time, take care of yourselves and remember you are worthy of all the safety, connection, and healing in the world. I'll see y'all next time. Please remember, all information presented in this podcast is based on publicly available sources and interpretations. It is not meant to be a definitive account of any individual's life or personal experiences, so always approach such information with a compassionate lens.